Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. If you have a passage or passages or specific topic that you want to learn more about, feel free to send us an email. Just go right to our website, send us an email, and we are going to prepare that teacher right on this platform. This is our calling, and thank you for joining us tonight. Hey, Rob, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, will you please lead us in prayer?
Certainly. Our Heavenly Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord, we just come before you this evening, seeking your guidance, and seeking your wisdom, Father. Mm. Lord, let your Holy Spirit move through us this night, that we may speak your truth, root out any cultural misconceptions, false teachings, or anything that may interfere with your word going forward, Father. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to share your gospel, to dig into the word, to learn more about you, and to walk closer with you, Father. Lord, I just, again, ask that you bless this time, and help us to better understand what a biblical marriage is, and to separate what the truth that you have for us from what culture and society tells us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Let us just focus on that message, Father. Thank you so much again for this evening and for the study. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for your prayers. Okay, our text today is from Genesis. We're in Genesis. We're studying Jacob, so that is in Genesis. Genesis chapter 30. And join me and let us read from, starting from verse 25 to 29. And I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible. After Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me on my way, so I can go back to my own homeland. Give me my wives and children, for whom I have served you, and I will be on my way. You know how much work I have done for you." But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by definition that the Lord has blessed me because of you." He added, "Name your wages and I will pay them." Jacob said to him, "You know how I have worked for you and how your livestock has fair honor my care. The little honor my care. You know how hard I have worked for you." Now, all right, let's stop here. Now we come to Jacob. Jacob is, from our previous study, we know that Jacob worked with Laban for many years, 14 years, for his two daughters. The first one that was married was Leah, which we've been talking about, and the second one, Rachel. But that was just one wedding, and the two wives were giving. But Jacob was blessed with a lot of children while he was living in Haran with Laban. Now, there came a time that Jacob began to think about his own family. And he asked Laban that he wanted to go home. Now don't forget, at that time, Jacob now have had 12 children in Haran. He was blessed with 11 sons and one daughter by four wives. Don't forget that. He began to think about his family, and that's one good thing I love about Jacob here. So what we're going to study in part five of our study tonight is that Jacob prospers in that country. We started it last week. but we stop in the middle. So we're gonna pick up. We're gonna pick it up from here. Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Yeah. Jacob worked for 14 years, and then he and LeMay reached an agreement for him to work for another 6 years. And he started, and he worked faithfully. He paid all his debts, and everything was fine. But now he wanted to go home. And LeBron said, wait, you got to stay here and work for me, because God has shown to me that because of you, I am blessed. What do you think? Do you have any thought on that?
I do. Let me reread Genesis 30, starting in verse 27.
Right.
Just before that, Jacob saying, give me my wives and my children so I can go back to my home, basically. So now in verse 27, it reads, and Laban said to him, please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Then he said, name me your wages, and I will give it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last week we were talking about what's happening here. And
right.
I reread this a couple of times, and it was kind of bugging me.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of the commentaries, it says that, oh, so what happens here is Jacob is going to trick Laban,
right?
So that he stacks everything in his favor. But upon rereading this, it says, Laban says, name your wages, and I will give it.
Mm-hmm.
He's already willing to give him whatever he wants. There's no need to trick him
mm-hmm.
at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was reading through one of my commentaries by Dr. Henry Morris, and he points this out, and I have to agree with him. I think that there really wasn't a need to trick him. Although we see some interesting things happening, because we see, you know, he separates out the sheep and the goats,
right.
But then he's putting the rods and other things down. So is that a cultural thing? Is it superstitious? Or is it something that he's recognized that promotes breeding and a healthy livestock?
Mm-hmm.
For he's tended to the herds all of his life, been out there just day after day after day, and would be very familiar with how to raise and breed and take care of these herds.
Mm-hmm.
So that got me thinking a lot more about it.
Right.
So I definitely would have to agree with Dr. Henry Morris.
Right.
That he's not really trying to trick Laban at this point. He's just trying to set up an agreement.
Okay. Because he said, whatever you ask, I will give it to you.
Correct.
And that is the key point that Dr. Morris is making in his commentary. Okay,
yeah.
Now, but there was something you pointed out last week that Jacob selecting the spotted goats and thing. You said, but you said, what did you say last week?
On which part?
On the kind of sheep and goat that were not wanted by Laban should be given to Jacob.
Right, so Jacob says, okay, let's go through the flock right this moment,
mm-hmm.
and let's separate out all those sheep and goats that have a blemish, and give them to your sons, and take them 3 days' journey away.
Right.
So there will not be any sheep or goats within the herd that have blemish.
Mm.
And this is what he's saying to Laban now, is that, okay, now, if there's any discolored stock, then that's what will be my wages going forward.
Right.
So he's removed those, which in theory should make it harder to the breeding, for there to be ones that are discolored.
Right.
However, as we see and as we read through this story, God blesses him, and we see his flock increase exponentially. So it's very interesting. But Laban's thinking, oh, this is a great deal, because he knows under natural laws that it should favor him. and that he should have his flock increasing, and there should be very few that have a spot or blemish.
Right. And the one with spot or blemish, that's what he wanted. And then they say, and that would be my hire.
Correct.
So I don't know why Jacob really, but the whole thing is, this is how the whole thing went, and Jacob was blessed in that home. God bless him. God bless him with men servants, with goats, with sheep, with different things. He prospered in that land. And what was the key to his the root for, to his prosperity? It was God. Because God promised to be with him. God promised.
Yeah.
A lot of commentaries argue that, oh, well, he was conning. You know, he did something, and during the mating time, every born cattle would be spotted. And so that most of them say, well, then that was a kind of deception that he did to the man. But and according to what Dr. Murray has said, is that he had all requested, whatever you call for, I'm going to give it to you. So that's a very good something. But the key thing is, Jacob got blessed in that country. He was so blessed. Why? Because God was with him. One key point that we need to learn from that is this: as Christians, we know we see the grace of God in the life of Jacob. From our previous studies, if you have not listened to part 1, 2, 3, and 4, please go back and listen to them, because you're going to learn a lot. Now, Jacob's whole house, his household was in chaos because of his wives. The two sisters were fighting. And then Jacob had so many children. The male servant were even giving to Jacob. So this created problem. But in the midst of all of the problems that Jacob was going through, God was with him. Why? Because God appeared to him and told him in one of our studies, when he was on his way, God appeared to him and told him, I am going to be with you. You are the heir of my promise to Abraham and to your father Isaac. And whenever God promised you that he will be with you, God is the promise keeper. And no matter what you do, God will be with you, and he will bring to pass whatever he has promised in your life. And I just love that. I want us to remember that in the life of Jacob. Jacob increases exceedingly. I mean, he got a lot of possessions. He has servants. He had cattle. He had different things. I mean, he was just, God prospered him in that country. But here is, situation began to change from our study last week. Jacob sees that the attitude of Laban and his sons to him has changed. Now, you brought in a point last week, Rob, about his sons.
Yes. Yeah, so when we go back and we see when Jacob arrived and first met Laban, there was no mention in scripture of Laban having any sons.
Right.
And in the custom of the day, when an outsider marries into a family, marries one of the daughters, if the father doesn't have any sons, then that first son-in-law becomes like his son, who also becomes like an heir.
Right.
So as we go into Genesis chapter 31, we see now that Laban's sons are threatened by Jacob and the wealth and the size of his flock that's increased. They're having some hard feelings.
Right.
We see that in the first two verses. And Laban is as well. And so they're feeling basically threatened by him.
Mm-hmm.
So this now creates a problem.
Now, thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and Jacob picks up on this. He notices the countenance of his father-in-law, Laban,
right,
has changed towards him. So he sees that he's in that favorable place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Rob. Now, things were, situation was changing while he was in there. He had worked 14 years, but he had two wives, and another 6 years, you know, for his cattle, and God bless him so much. But Laban and his sons have changed. Here is what happened. God appears to Jacob in a dream and explained to him the reason for his prosperity, and then commands him to return to Canaan. God appeared to him. I just love that part. I love it, you know. And say, I brought you here and I have blessed you. But now it's time for you to go back home. And Jacob know that it was time, it was a change of attitude of his father-in-law and his sons. Things have changed. They were against him. And God said, look, I have blessed you. I did all the blessing. And I think, Rabbi, I agree with you, and I want to agree with Dr. Morris, because here God is confirming. He said, all the blessing you have, I give it to you. See, I give it to you. But I want you to go back to Canaan and go home. What did he do? Jacob's wives expressed their willingness to follow him. He called his wives and explained the situation to them, and they all agreed and said, well, and you know, one good thing that Jacob stressed, and I want to read that, one good thing that he stressed here, and I love it. I love him as I read it. He said, in Genesis 30, verse 30, the little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now, when do I do something for my own household? Why should I get, you know, his concern was, now I have come, Laban, a wife for you. God has blessed you and your family. But now I got 12 living children plus my four wives. They're 16. When do I start doing something for my own family? Jacob started thinking about it. And then the whole idea came about, you name your wages, whatever you ask for, I'm going to give it to you. Because you have been here, God is blessing me, and I don't want you to leave. But however, Jacob decided. Now, Jacob was led to return to Canaan. And three things that happened that I want us to learn tonight. There are many ways God can speak to people. Sometimes people think that God needs to speak to you audibly or some way, but there were three ways that we see in the life of Jacob that God was saying he should leave and go. The first thing was by inward conviction. Jacob was convinced that really I've been here 14, 15 years or 20 years. I really need to go back home. Your inward conviction about something is an indication that God is speaking to you. And not most of the sometimes people do have wrong inward conviction, but the right conviction within yourself, and you know that what you are doing, you are a man of God, and this is what is good for you, your inward conviction. Now the second thing, outward circumstances. Jacob was convinced he wanted to go back home. Then Laban said, well, Jacob, I love you, you love me, you're being with me, I am so blessed, I got, I'm so wealthy, so I want you to be here, name your wages. He agreed. But yet he still wanted to come, and 6 more years he worked. Jacob still wanted to come home. Then we have outward circumstances. What was it? Laban and his sons began to fight against Jacob. See that? Laban and his son began to do what? Attitude have changed. Attitude have changed completely. Then God came in and spoke to him. Now, And let us note these two major things. Your inward conviction about something when you are a man of God, coupled with the outward circumstances, when things that are just popping up and you don't know what's going on, these are indications that God is speaking. And then God, in most cases, will speak to you on a situation what you need to do. That's what God does. Now let's look at those two things. Your inward conviction. Now, anything you want to do, and in what you are convinced, this is what I want to do. This is what God wants me to do. That means God is speaking to you. Then outward circumstances may determine what you need to do. And God may speak. In Jacob's case, God spoke to Jacob in his dream and said, I bless you. I give you all of the things you have. Now it's time for you to go back home. Hey, Rob, do you have any comment?
Yeah, I do. So God speaks to Jacob. Jacob calls his wives.
Yeah.
And where does he take them? He takes them out into the field to where the flock is.
Right.
And he communicates to them what God has done for them. And so they look out and they're seeing all the blessings, mm-hmm. The multicolored sheep and goats. So now they can see what's happened. But they also, this sort of drives home how their father has dealt with their husband.
And
Jacob says, Laban, Laban says to his wife, Laban dealt with him deceptively 10 times. And so here, the wives are looking at this, simply speaking, response. They just trust. But it's also interesting because you were looking at this.
Get up, hold on down, man.
31:15, we see the wives. It seems that they're a little upset that in the way that their father dealt with nothing for the wives. In reality, for the first 14 years, there was nothing for Jacob or for any of them. But he did his work. So we see all that transpiring here. And so they're like, okay, let's go.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the outward circumstances, the wives saw it. They saw the heated argument. I mean, the narrator of this whole thing probably left out some things that we do not know. But there might be, because when the sons came about and said, well, this guy is taking all our wealth. And then things began to look differently. They saw it, and Jacob said, look, see what is happening. I got 12 living children right now, plus my four wives, we 16, you know, at 17, and he himself 17. He said, I need to do something for myself. I need to start working and build up living for my children and myself. And I love the way, his intention in that, because he was so concerned about his family. That's the key thing. He was so what? He was so concerned about his family. So Jacob said, I need to go. But here, the whole thing pops up, and Jacob really had in a mind to go. But next week, we are going to pick up from the next text, which is Jacob leaving Haran, but let us try to look at his whole life in Haran and the things he did there, and a few things that we need to remember as we continue to study about Jacob next week. We have 7 things to be remembered about the names of Jacob's children. Now, for those of you who are joining us tonight, or those who have been going with us, we gave a specific name. Go back and listen to the previous videos. There's a name that I introduced into the teaching we call K2. And that K2 is not an English word. All right? That K2 is a word that the Bee people of Liberia use to describe the fight between two wives with the intention that somebody wants to win the love of the man. So the fight that they do, or if they make have 4 or 5 wives, the fight among the wives is what can be referred to as ketu. But the English word does not have a specific word to describe that. The English word does not have a specific word, just fighting among the wives, it says tribe. No, that's not true. It's the same problem. So I introduced that word. And that word is ketu. It can only be used in that context. You cannot use it in any other context. So let us see. Now, in the area of ketu, as I gave you the definition already, the women had their children, and each of them were given a ketu name. And the name given to each son was something that expressed their feelings within the relationship. Rob.
Yes.
Can you comment on that? Reuben, Zebulon, and all these different names of praise, they all had to do with the kind of inward feelings, what one was feeling within the marriage. Do you have a comment on that? We've been we don't find this here in the Western world nowadays, but I think it's here too. You know, I think it's here. What is it?
Absolutely, yes. There's so much that's happening here. We see, you know, Jacob saw Rachel, fell in love with her, wanted to marry her, but then Laban tricked him. Uh-huh. So he had to marry the oldest daughter, Leah. He served his 7 years. Then he had to serve another 7 years for Rachel. Right. Now you have the two sisters competing for the husband's affections.
Right.
Leah begins bearing sons through this, and she's feeling rejected by her husband, even though she's bearing sons.
Uh-huh.
She's out. She still doesn't feel loved. And then there's the contention with her sister. So
yeah,
we see that reflected in each of the children's names. Then God remembers Rachel, that he forgot her, but that he is there listening to her.
Right.
And actively in part of her lives. And
right.
So now he opens up her womb and she starts having children. Plus
right.
The maid service that happens, you have, and now it names as well that are expressing the strength and the tradition that's in this household.
That's
and
true.
So each of them thinks that, oh, the more children I have, the better we'll be, and we'll have this love. But it, you know, they still are striving against each other. And so we see that in the things and in the actions and everything that has happened.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you. Now, 7 things we need to remember in the life of Jacob and his family. The jealousy and envy of the two wives, almost every line of these verses reveals the bitter strife between these sisters. Everything you read, the bitterness, the fight, the ketu. It was just a major fight each time. But God, the great thing is, even though the fight was going on, but God was still working in the life of Jacob. That's why we say his grace. It's not because Jacob was living a holy life, but God had promised him that he would bless him. So God is the promise keeper, no matter what. And that is the beauty of this study. the beauty of the patriarch Jacob, when you look at his whole life, you, and from our understanding, it was in chaos. There was fight every day in his home. But God was still with him because God promised him, you will be the heir. You will be the one. So the promise of God is important in whatever he does. Now, the fruits of these jealousies and envy resulted in several things. Each wife giving names to her children that reflect the strife. You know, like when Leah had the other son, he said, I know my husband will stick to me now. He will love me because I have him the fourth son. And he will stick to me. You know, all of the children have this kitchen name, this strife, the kind of struggles that they were going through within the relationship. Each wife by proxy has children through her maid. Now, Jacob started with one wedding, then two wives, because he was tricked. He had only one wedding. And then Laban said, well, in our culture demands that the first daughter gets married before the second. So after 1 week of honeymoon with Leah, then I will give you Rachel. But make sure to promise me that you will wait for another 7 years. So that when I went wedding, he got two wives. All right, that was a problem. And then Laban gave maid servant to Leah and another maid servant to Rachel. When Leah started having children, Rachel was not having children, and she was so bitter. She told Jacob, hey, if you don't give me a child, I'm going to die. And Jacob fired back bitterly. He said, am I God that said you should not have children? I'm not God. Don't tell me that. She said, all right, since you're not God, this is what I want you to do. Take my maid servant so that whatever child you will have by you will be my child. And that was your culture. See, let's compare that to adoption today, you know, to adopt children and all that into a family. It carried the same weight in our time. So, Rachel blaming Jacob. He said, I blame you, Jacob, because you made me to be barren. And Jacob said, no, don't blame me. Don't bring that to me. Well, Jacob was not really, he was not really answering, you know, with love and all that. He said, no, I'm not God. I didn't tell you when I have children. Rachel aligned Jacob to sleep with Leah in a change with Reuben's madrigals, hoping that this would give her a child. These were situations that happened in the life of Jacob. And we see. Now, the third thing is that the fruits of the sin of polygamy. Whenever you have a polygamous home, these are the things you found in there. Unequal love. Some polygamous husband will tell you plain blank that you are wrong. Somebody will say, I love all my wives. But in reality, that's not true. You know, in my culture, there were a lot of, even my father had 7 wives. All right? But there was a specific person that he had love for, and everyone knew that. All right? Everyone knew that. So, to say that I have 5 wives and I love every one of them equally, that's not true. In a polygamous home, that is the trouble that there. And so the women in the home will be fighting among themselves to win the love of that man. Don't forget it. All the fight we call keto. All the fight they do there is somebody want to win. Somebody want to grab the man's heart. So, but Rachel had the heart of who? Of Jacob. The sons of Jacob have 4 mothers. No wonder why they were fighting among themselves. Now, when we start, as we go along and finish the study of Joseph, you will see they got 4 mothers. They got different names in their fight, and all these things came forth in the way they lived. Jacob was miserable. Because he was the center of all of the fight. He was his, and so he had problem. The 16, the strife between Leah and Rachel continued to this day. And I want you, as we study forward, we're not going to touch on this right now, but as we finish the study, the fight among Jacob's wives, between, because there are two major wives, or the other two were concubines, between the two continues to this day. How we end, follow the teaching. Don't stop. Keep coming. We'll tell you how the whole thing is happening today. The favor of God was shown to the hated wife. Wow. Now, the wife that was hated had what? The favor of God. The wife that was hated had what? The favor of God. Hey, Rock.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any concluding remark before we can call for questions?
Yes. One thing to point out, K2 is cultural.
Right, it's cultural. See, right.
Yeah, absolutely. We see here the culture of their time is that a son is extremely valuable, that they're bringing an heir, and it's praised. And we saw this in one of the comments that Leah made.
Right.
She said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed."
Mm-hmm.
And then she names her next kid Asher. And it's because she's had all these children that, oh, wow, I'm so blessed by the culture. But is she blessed? Because we see all the suffering that's happening in the kitchen and the house.
She was being tormented, you're right.
So one of the things I'd like to encourage everyone is to read this, and read this carefully, to go back through these chapters and look at how the women are responding. Are they seeking God? Are they praying to him? Are they asking for him to comfort them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we see these things? Or are they responding in a cultural manner and going about things, taking matters into their own hands?
Right. Right.
What do we see?
They were just taking matters into their own hands. There was nothing like praying and depending on God. And as we go further, we will see that, because when about next week, Jacob will leave Haran and go. And then Laban will follow. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but one of the daughters, Rachel, right, stole the household gods and took it along with her.
And that was right after they had just said, "Oh, if God said it, then let's do it." And then two verses later, she takes an idol.
She did an idol. So actually, they were really not praying. They were not seeking God. Everything was laid within the cultural context, and that's what we see here.
Yeah.
But, and that's I love that conjunction. But we also see the grace and the power of God in dealing with his people. I mean, everything was done. Jacob was. He was the center of all the fights, and you know when your two wives are fighting day and night, and they are loggerhead, I mean they do all sort of things, you're not at peace. So he was not at peace at all. But we see God's hand was still upon him. That is the key thing that was there. So the grace of God stood upon Jacob, because God had told him, "You would be the heir of the promise, and I will be with you." And then Jacob said to him, "When you take me to where I'm going, and you bring me back to my people, then you will be my God. And everything that I will own, I will give you 10% of it." God was not blessing Jacob because of the condition he sat before him. But God was blessing him because God had decided to use a lion for redemption. All right. That's where we start tonight. Thank you for coming in. If you have questions, let me unmute everyone. If you have questions, you're welcome to ask. Or if you have a comment, you can make the comment or ask your question. Everyone is unmuted, and whatever comment you want to make, you're welcome. Okay. All right, next week, join us. Join us next week, and Jacob will be returning home, and that's a good study. Join us next week. Rob, can you lead us in prayer?
Yes. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the study. Lord, most of all, thank you for your grace. We know it is sufficient for each and every one of us, Father. It doesn't matter what we do or how many times that we fail. Your grace restores us, Father. Yes. You redeemed us and called us to you, Father. Thank you so much. You are just a mighty and an awesome God, creator of each of us, Father. Thank you so much. I just lift everyone up here. We give you praise for everyone that is attending and listening and learning, Father. And I just ask that you be with each and every one of us this week. Continue to draw us close to you and to teach us and instruct us in your ways and show us new things and deepen our understanding of you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. All right, join us next week, same time. Jacob will be returning, and that's a great study. Don't forget to come. Invite somebody.